The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth in the world's greatest salmon fishery through investments in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we are on board with you.
This is KDLG's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. I'm Mike Mason. Coming up on today's show, we'll check in with the researchers with the University of Washington's Fisheries Research Institute about the latest forecast of the size of this year's run. We'll also hear about why the largest grocery supplier in the United States likely won't have any frozen salmon products from Alaska on their shelves this year. All of that and more is coming up on today's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. But first, here are the latest announcements from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and King Salmon with an announcement for Ikigik commercial fishermen. The time of this announcement is 3 p.m. and the date is Friday, June 28th. The aerial survey flight revealed a concentration of fish in the district that seems headed for the Ikigik River. Commercial fishing will be permitted in the Ikigik district with set gillnet gear from 4:15 p.m. Friday, June 28th until 12:15 a.m. Saturday, June 29th, an 8-hour period. Commercial fishing with drift gillnet gear will be permitted from 6 p.m. until 10 p.m. Friday, June 28th, a 4-hour period. Fishermen should stand by at 12 noon on Saturday, June 29th, for the next possible announcement. This has been the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and King Salmon.
This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and King Salmon with an announcement for commercial permit holders in the Naknek-Quijek districts. The time is 3 p.m. and the date is Friday, June 28th. The midnight to 6 a.m. sockeye estimate past Naknek Tower was 43,000 for a cumulative escapement of 280,000. For the Quijek River, the cumulative escapement is 200,000 sockeye. The Naknek-Quijek District will open to set gillnet gear for a 7.5-hour period from 6 p.m. Saturday, June 29th until 1:30 a.m. Sunday, June 30th. The Naknek section of the Naknek-Quijek District will open to drift gillnet gear for a 7-hour period from 6:30 p.m. Saturday, June 29th until 1:30 a.m. Sunday, June 30th. The next announcement for the Naknek-Quijek District will be at 3 p.m. Saturday, June 29th. This has been the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and King Salmon.
This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Dillingham with an announcement regarding commercial fishing in the Nooshigak District. This is Westside Salmon Announcement Number 17, issued Friday, June 28th at 12 p.m. The cumulative Wood River sockeye salmon escapement at 6 a.m. was 728,000. The Nooshigak River sockeye salmon escapement through June 27th was 640,000. The king salmon escapement was 56,340. There are 359 permits registered to fish in the Nooshigak District. The commercial harvest yesterday was 347,000 sockeye salmon. The cumulative harvest is 1.38 million. As previously announced, commercial fishing with drift gillnets in the Nooshigak District will be open from 8 p.m. June 28th until 4 a.m. June 29th. Commercial fishing with drift gillnets will reopen in the Nooshigak District for 10 hours from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. June 29th. And again, for 8 hours from 10 p.m. June 29th until 6 a.m. June 30th. This has been the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Dillingham.
Commercial fishermen in Bristol Bay hauled in another 807.3 thousand sockeye on Thursday to push the season total to over 6.9 million fish. Good afternoon. I'm Mike Mason as the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report continues. The Ikigik District continues to lead the other commercial fishing districts in Bristol Bay in harvest with a catch of over 2.1 million sockeye. However, the fleets in the Ikigik District have been on hold Thursday and for much of today to allow for more escapement. Fishermen in the Naknek-Quijek District hauled in 450,000 sockeye Thursday to push the season total to over 1.9 million fish. The commercial harvest was just 10,000 fish Thursday in the Ugashik District to push the district total to 1.4 million. The commercial harvest in the Nooshiegak District was 347,000 fish to push the season total to over 1.3 million. Fishermen in Togiak only hauled in 394 sockeye Thursday to increase the season total to just under 16,000 fish. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game reports that on average there were 852 sockeye per drift delivery Thursday in the Naknek-Quijack District. The number was 648 in the Nooshiegak District. The number was 122 sockeye in the Togiak District. Fish and Game reports that as of 9 o'clock this morning, there were 1,539 drift net permits registered to fish in Bristol Bay. That's expected to increase up to 1,645 in 48 hours. There are currently 1,271 drift net vessels registered. That's expected to increase up to 1,345 drift vessels in 48 hours. The D-boat count is 268. That's expected to increase up to 300 D-boats in 48 hours. Now looking at escapement, Thursday was the first day of counting on the Ugashic River. Over 10.7 thousand sockeye were counted. Fish and Game's estimating that there are another 80,000 sockeye in the Ugashic River that have not yet been counted as escapement. Just 19.3 thousand sockeye were counted Thursday as escapement to the Igigik River to push the total to over 424.6 thousand. Fish and Game's estimating that there are another 50,000 sockeye in the Igigik River that have not yet been counted as escapement. Thursday's escapement account to the Quijack River was 44.5 thousand sockeye to push the total to over 191.2 thousand. Fish and Game's estimating there are another 100,000 sockeye in the Quijack River that have not yet been counted as escapement. For the Naknek River, another 59.8 thousand sockeye were counted as escapement Thursday. That pushes the total to over 237.6 thousand. In the Nooshiegak District, another 25.9 thousand sockeye were counted to the Agushik River Thursday. That pushes the total to over 147.3 thousand. 13.8 thousand sockeye were counted as escapement to the Nooshiegak River to push the total to over 640.4 thousand fish. Over 28.4 thousand sockeye were counted to the Wood River Thursday to push the total to over 720.6 thousand. Counting towers on the Togiak River are not yet up and running, but they should be operational on the 3rd of July. Through Thursday, total sockeye run to Bristol Bay, including the harvest and escapement, is now over 9.5 million fish. The daily run summary can be found on the ADF&G Bristol Bay website, and the summaries are also posted at the Fish and Game offices in Dillingham and King Salmon. The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report will continue in a moment. This is listener-supported public radio, KDLG. I'm Mike Mason. A small cabin on the shores of the Lake Alegnagik is the nerve center for a long-standing effort to track, predict, and understand the sockeye salmon run to Bristol Bay. The cabin is part of the University of Washington's Fisheries Research Institute, and everyday researchers take in the available information about the run, they feed it into models that then churn out updated forecasts. The most senior of the researchers is Ray Hilborn. He's a professor in the School of Aquatic and Fishery Sciences, and he's a world-renowned expert on fisheries, especially Bristol Bay salmon fishery. He says the predictions about the final run size depend on how early the run actually is.
Low 30s seems most likely. I should say that Curry has put together a data set we haven't used in the past, which is the South Peninsula catch. And there is some correlation down there between what they catch and what shows up here. And it's, again, on the stronger end of things. Pointing us, when we put it all together, pointing us in the low 30s, unless the run is unprecedentedly early. You know, if it's 1 or 2 or 3 days, which we've all seen. I don't think we've ever seen 5 days early. If it's 5 days early, it could be right around the high 20s, right in the forecast.
The preseason forecast put forward by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game anticipated the sockeye run to Bristol Bay would total about 26.3 million fish. The Fisheries Research Institute puts out their own preseason forecast, and their forecast was a little larger at over 28.1 million sockeye. Hilborn mentioned the South Peninsula fishery, and through Thursday, over 1.5 million sockeye have been harvested, with the majority, 989,000 to be exact, taken during the June South Unimak fishery. The general consensus is that this year's sockeye run to Bristol Bay is early, but Hilborn says it might take some time to figure out exactly how early it actually is.
We'll know it when it peaks and starts on its way down. But even then, there's always the question of how big is the tail? And sometimes the tail just drags on and on. So, you know, you might have, let's say you might have a total catch and escapement of 15 million by the time you've hit the peak and it starts down. But that could turn into a 25 million run or a 32 million run, depending upon how much tail there is. And there's really no way of knowing until it happens.
Earlier this week, the Fisheries Research Institute issued an in-season update that includes an updated forecast. The researchers are now predicting that the total sockeye run to Bristol Bay will total out at just over 32 million fish. That's nearly 4 million fish larger than their preseason forecast. One of the tools used by the researchers is the ongoing Port Muller test fishery. However, they are selective in the data they use. Curry Cunningham is one of the researchers that follows the daily developments with the test fishery and the Bristol Bay sockeye run. He confirms that FRI only uses the catch in the 5 and an 8th inch mesh panels.
The reason we do that is just because traditionally a 5 and an 8th inch mesh was used, so we have a longer time series to which we can compare it and get a better sense of what cumulative catches to date actually represent in terms of overall run size or predict in terms of overall run size. The other things we do is we assume a sort of a normal distribution of fish across space, across the transect, so we can fill in missing stations based on how likely catches would have been if the stations weren't fished, and also across the season. We see a normal distribution of fishes caught at Port Muller as the season progresses, so we can use that information paired with their distribution to get a better idea of what would have been caught in missing stations or days.
As part of their forecasting efforts, the FRI researchers put together age-specific forecasts. The latest such forecast calls for 9.7 million 1-2 sockeye to return to the bay this summer, along with 14.9 million 1-3 fish. The 2-2 salmon are expected to total over 4.1 million, and they're forecasting the run will include 1.9 million 2-3 fish. While everyone seems to agree that this year's run is early, perhaps historically early, there's no such agreement that this year's run is significantly larger than the preseason forecast. Hilborn says we won't really know until it's all over, but it's unlikely.
It would have to be extremely early to be on forecast, and it would have to be on time to be super big. So, you know, I mean, when I say super big, I mean, say high 30s, which isn't big in terms of recent history. It's only big compared to the preseason forecast. And the preseason forecast have been, you know, plus or minus 10-20% for the last years. But having said that, you know, preseason forecasts have in the past been 50% wrong. You know, 1997, for instance, was run came in half of the forecast. So, you know, is it possible that the run's going to be twice our forecast or 50% more? Certainly wouldn't rule it out. But right now, I think somewhat early and larger than forecast seems the most likely.
The researchers with FRI and the Bristol Bay Science and Research Institute, which runs the Port Muller test fishery, both believe the sockeye run through the Port Muller test fishery area peaked about June the 21st, which is much earlier than the normal peak of around June 28th. In this week's FRI in-season report, they note that the historical record from 1990 to 2012 indicates that a peak more than 6 days early has never occurred, and only once has the peak been exactly 6 days early. If the run through the Port Muller area has peaked, what does that mean for the peak inshore run? In this week's report, the FRI researchers note that there are no years in which a peak at Port Muller prior to June 26th was followed by a peak inshore later than the 5th of July. They suggest that a peak at Port Muller that is 5 to 6 days early likely indicates a run that is 2 to 3 days early bay-wide. The average inshore peak is July the 6th. That means that if the data and the interpretation of the data is correct, the inshore peak could be sometime early next week. However, in the report, the researchers stress that from 1965 through 2012, the run has never peaked more than 4 days early, and only six times has the run peaked exactly 4 days earlier than the average. If the run actually peaks 4 days early inshore, that puts the peak on the 2nd of July. That's this coming Tuesday. One of the big question marks for this season is if the Quijack River will continue the recent trend of coming in at or above the forecast. This year, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game is forecasting the sockeye run to the Quijack River at just over 5 million fish. Hilborn says the river has definitely recovered from its low point in the late 1990s and the early 2000s.
There was a stretch of about 6 or 7 years in the 1990s when the returns per spawner were barely replacement. You know, historically, Quijack is sort of a 2 fish coming back for every spawner. And in there, those the brood years of early to mid-90s were running an average of 1. It just wasn't replacing itself. And now it's kicked up about the last 6 or 7 broods that we have. So this would go back. The last one would be, I think, 06. Fish that spawned in 06 we've got pretty well complete. So those late 90s, early late 90s into the mid 2000s, in terms of recruits per spawner, it's back. Yeah, but what we haven't seen there is anything like the big returns that it has produced in the past. Are we ever going to see another 50 million Quijack return year? Well, I suspect the answer is yes, but I may not be. You know, it'll happen again, I suspect, but I don't think in the immediate future.
The University of Washington Salmon Research Program in Alaska got started back in 1946, and the program has a permanent field station on the shores of Lake Alegnagik. The university's Fisheries Research Institute was created in 1948. FRI is credited with developing the very simple system to count salmon escapement using counting towers, as well as conducting research that allows stakeholders to better understand the Bristol Bay salmon resource. The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report will continue in a moment. This is KDLG's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. I'm Mike Mason. The largest grocery supplier in the United States is Walmart. As a matter of fact, the company's the largest retailer on Earth. On Thursday, Walmart announced that it will only be accepting frozen salmon products that carry the Marine Stewardship Council's sustainability label. Last year, most of the major seafood processors that do business in Alaska withdrew their support from the MSC label, resulting in no certification for this year's salmon pack out of Alaska. That, coupled with Walmart's decision to only stock MSC-certified fish, seems to indicate that frozen salmon products made with salmon from Alaska will not be available on Walmart store shelves this year. What does that mean for Alaska's salmon fisheries? Well, it depends on who you talk to. Norm Van Vactor is the CEO of the Bristol Bay Economic Development Corporation, based in Dillingham.
I think what it certainly does, it just raises the level of uncertainty now to yet a higher degree. And given the size and the magnitude and the volume of fish that Walmart moves and is capable of moving, it certainly is a blow to the industry in Alaska as we know it today. And one, either the industry will adapt to that and potentially make some changes and modifications to our stand and position, or Walmart over time becomes more accepting of other certification processes, because Walmart is a customer we cannot afford to lose, and we don't want to lose, and we will not lose.
One of the major seafood processors that has led the charge in withdrawing support for the MSC certification for the commercial salmon fisheries in Alaska is Ocean Beauty Seafoods, which has a major presence in Bristol Bay. The Bristol Bay Economic Development Corporation holds a 50% interest in Ocean Beauty, but Van Vactor asserts that BBEDC won't try and force Ocean Beauty to change its stance.
We have a high degree of confidence in the management team that runs Ocean Beauty Seafoods, and we do not get involved in their day-to-day business. I think you know my opinion and the opinions of others on our board, and we certainly share those opinions. But again, as it relates to the day-to-day, month-to-month activities and direction of Ocean Beauty, we have a high degree of confidence in the management team that is in place there, and we work with them accordingly.
The Walmart's announcement that they were only going to stock MSC-certified salmon came as a shock to many observers of the salmon markets, including John Sacton. He's the editor of SeafoodNews.com, and he posted a scathing editorial on the website Thursday. Sacton believes Walmart's decision points to a conflict between the company and the fisheries management structure in the state of Alaska, which Sacton labels the best management system on earth.
And what this has kind of brought to the fore, in my view, is the fact that Walmart and the other retailers really need to ask themselves, do they support U.S. fishery management goals and objectives or not? Because the way they're acting, they don't seem to support it. And what particularly struck me about this story and made me so angry was that Alaska has not been denying this potential issue of interaction between hatchery fish and wild fish. And they've just put on the table a approximately $5 billion research project to look at this specifically in Prince William Sound. So what's happening is that the Alaska salmon managers are moving forward on this issue, but Walmart is saying, we don't care about that unless you actually pay and partner up with our own NGO partner, in this case, Sustainable Fisheries Partnership. We don't really care what you're doing about Prince William Sound salmon. And to me, that's a travesty. And I think it reflects, as I said in my piece, more badly on Walmart than on Alaskan fishery managers and Alaska salmon.
While Alaska's commercial salmon fisheries have, for the time being, lost the MSC certification, there are other certifications in place, including the FAO-based Responsible Fisheries Management Certification, supported by the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute and most of the large seafood processors that do business in Alaska. Tyson Fick is the communications director for ASME.
What I do find amazing is that America's largest retailer is saying they won't buy American seafood without the endorsement of a foreign-based environmental group while promoting foreign seafood with clearly inferior fisheries management and quality.
The MSC sustainability label and ASME's responsible fisheries management certification are just two of the growing list of eco-labels intended to ensure that seafood is sustainably managed. The eco-labels have been gaining popularity in recent years as more and more customers want assurances that the seafood they buy is wild-caught and does not come from fisheries that are overfished. SeafoodNews.com's John Sacton believes the whole eco-label movement is now in transition.
You really got to think about it differently than you might have thought about it 10 years ago or 12 years ago when Alaska salmon fisheries first came into the MSC. And the reason it's in transition is, first of all, some of the problems that led of overfishing and so forth that led to the eco-label movement are being successfully addressed not only in Alaska, which wasn't really one of the problem areas, but in the rest of the U.S., for example, and in New Zealand and in Iceland and in Norway. I mean, here you have record cod catches in the Barents Sea. So the idea that without the MSC, cod is going to be an endangered species is just ludicrous. The fishery managers have been very successful. So I think that the climate has changed. And the other thing that's happened, I think, is that there's a very strong and widespread recognition on the part of fisheries, the producers and suppliers, that you need a open system for benchmarking sustainability. You can't put all your eggs in the hands of a single private organization. So even in Germany, the hotbed of the MSC, the German government is funding the project to call the Global Seafood Sustainability Initiative, which will benchmark eco-labels and eventually make the MSC just one of many acceptable alternatives. The global retail food industry already uses this for agriculture products under Global GAP and stuff like that. And so I don't think that this idea that the MSC is the only game in town is something that is going to continue in the next 5 years.
Despite the criticisms of the eco-labels, they are an important tool used by consumers to ensure the seafood products they buy are sustainably managed, and the MSC label is still the most respected of the many labels out there. The MSC label is also required to sell in many markets. As the seafood processors, suppliers, buyers, and users all try to work it all out, one thing appears certain: you likely won't be able to find any frozen Alaska salmon products on the shelves of a Walmart store near you. That's significant because Walmart is the largest retailer on Earth and the largest grocery supplier in the United States. The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report will continue in a moment. This is KDLG's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. I'm your host, Mike Mason. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game counts sockeye escapement to three rivers in the Nooshiak District. All three of those rivers have now achieved their escapement goals. On Thursday, another 28.4 thousand sockeye were counted as escapement to the Wood River. That pushes the season total to over 720.6 thousand. The escapement goal, 700,000 to 1.5 million. The Nooshiak River hit its escapement goal several days ago, and another 13.8 thousand sockeye were counted Thursday to push escapement to 640.4 thousand. The goal is 370 to 760 thousand sockeye. And on Thursday, another 25.9 thousand sockeye were counted as escapement to the Agushik River, and another 2.6 thousand fish were counted through 6 o'clock this morning. That puts the total at 149.9 thousand fish, and that's just 84 fish of the lower end of the escapement goal of 150 to 300,000 sockeye. Most assuredly, those 84 fish have already been counted as escapement today, which means the Agushik River joins the Wood and the Nooshiak Rivers in meeting their escapement goals. By all accounts, it's the earliest that all three rivers in the Nooshiak District have hit their goals. Currently, the set net fleet in the district is allowed to fish continuously until further notice. Drifters have been given 18 hours a day of fishing time. Tim Sands is the ADF&G area management biologist for the Nooshiak District. He does not expect there will be a change in the near future.
There's some heavy weather coming, according to the forecast, and we want to consider the allocation, but escapement is the first priority, and with heavy weather coming, we generally leak a lot more fish than what we're leaking with normal weather, and we're really kind of leaking more than we need to leak at this point. So it would be counterproductive, I think, at this point to reduce the drift fishing effort.
The management plan for the Nooshiak District includes an allocation plan that calls for 74% of the catch to go to the drift fleet, 20% for the Nooshiak section set netters. The other 6% is set aside for the Agushik section set netters. At last report, the drift fleet had 85% of the catch, while Nooshiak section set netters had 10.3%. Agushian section set netters had 4.6% of the catch. Sand suggests that the migration pattern of the sockeye through the Nooshiak District appears to be limiting the catching power of many of the set netters.
All I can say is when we flew our surveys on Monday and Wednesday, there wasn't a boat anywhere near Ekuk Beach, anywhere, you know, there wasn't a drift net out anywhere along the eastern side of the district. Everything was out in the middle and west channel. And I think they were there because that's where the fish were. And when the fish are out there, they're not in the nets, the set nets along the beach, you know. For whatever reason, that's what was going on, and there's really not a lot that can be done about it.
Currently, the three rivers in the Nooshiak District are the only rivers in Bristol Bay that have met their escapement goals. The other counting effort underway in the district is to track king salmon escapement to the Nooshiak River. On Thursday, another 5,988 kings were counted to push the total to 56.3 thousand. That is still short of the escapement goal of 95,000 kings, but is still ahead of the historical curve used by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game to project reaching the goal. As a matter of fact, the king run is currently projected to reach an escapement level of about 120,000 fish. That concludes today's edition of the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. The report can be found online at kdlg.org. And if you have something to add to our show, including corrections, tips, or background information, please send me an email. The address is mike@kdlg.org. And please join me Saturday afternoon at 4 for the next Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. And until then, please be safe and watch the weather.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth in the world's greatest salmon fishery through investments in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA. We are on board with you. The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible in part by AIFMA, the Alaska Independent Fishermen's Marketing Association, 1-800-816-3741.